Are you ready to talk baseball? Well, step up to the plate. You're listening to Passion for the Pastime. And here's your host, Walter.
Hey, how's it going, everybody? And welcome back to Passion for the Pastime podcast. I'm your host, Walter. Is everyone else's head spinning from all the rule changes that's going on? I've been having to deal with talking about rule changes, explaining it to people, because they still don't understand it. There's a lot going on. Well, we're not going to do that this episode of the podcast. We are going to actually talk ball, a tournament that is occurring in a little less than a month. March 7th is the beginning of this tournament. If you don't know what I'm talking about, it's the WBC, the World Baseball Classic. It is back, baby. Last time it was on, USA. Team USA won the whole thing. In 2017, that was the last time it was there. 6 years ago. Feels like a lifetime ago, the last time we had a WBC, a World Baseball Classic. So we are going to talk about the World Baseball Classic as baseball is ramping back up. Pitchers and catchers have reported. Everyone else reporting next week. It is an exciting time to be a baseball fan, and it is an exciting time for you to be a listener of Passion for the Pastime podcast, because my guest needs no introduction. Love this human being, and the fact that he agreed to come onto this podcast to talk with me, I am astonished. We are going to be speaking with the great, the legendary John Paul Morosi of MLB Network. We are going to break down anything and everything you need to know about the WBC, dark horses, favorites, upsets in the making. We're going to talk about all of that coming up next with John Morosi of MLB Network. You're listening to Passion for the Pastime podcast. All right, everybody, welcome back to Passion for the Pastime podcast. I am your host, Walter, and I am really excited to bring in my next guest. We're going to be talking about the WBC, the World Baseball Classic, which finally makes its reappearance after 6 years. And if you don't know what the World Baseball Classic is, well, this is why we have John Morosi on the show to break it all down for us. John Morosi of MLB Network. John, welcome to the show, and thank you for taking the time. How are you doing today?
Walter, I am outstanding, my friend. Appreciate the invitation, and really, it's just an amazing time of year. We've got spring training underway and the World Baseball Classic coming up. These are truly two of my favorite things to speak about in life, spring training and the WBC all together. So thanks so much for the invitation.
Yeah, of course. And, you know, I've booked you countless times with Greg Papa and John Lund. And, you know, I thought to myself, well, I got to have John Morosi on my podcast. We have to have these conversations. So I am glad to finally have you on the podcast. Really happy to do it. And it is a really fun time of year, John. And last podcast, I was speaking with Jorge Castillo. We were talking about rule changes. Now, we're not going to talk too much about rule changes here, but I just wanted to kind of pivot that into the World Baseball Classic, where people watching the game unfold during this tournament, it's going to be different than what can be expected this MLB season.
It will be. And interestingly, of course, there are still different sets of rules for baseball around the world. MLB is, I think, very aggressively and appropriately moving to a new brand of the game in terms of how they're going to be managing the change that we've witnessed in the sport for a period of time, where now the shift has been outlawed. Pitch clock is in. Bigger bases are in. So those are changes that will be part of the new baseball in 2023 at the major league level. But as we know, Walter, the U.S. is one of only 20 countries playing in the World Baseball Classic. So we, as it is in many things in life, we have a great amount of influence on the rules here in the U.S., but we cannot make all the rules. And so this is one thing where the tournament itself, out of respect to all the nations playing, and certainly the new rules are not happening in Japan or Korea or a great many baseball-playing countries. So out of respect to that, it's important to let the spring training and the Grapefruit League and the Cactus League be the proving ground for the new rules, and well, the World Baseball Classic must stand on its own.
So when we talk about rules in particular to the World Baseball Classic, what is the game presentation, the rule book going to look like during this tournament in 2023?
Excellent question. I would say to you that it will look basically like Major League Baseball did last year. But of course, there is the implementation of pitch limitations in the interest of pitching health. So pitchers, they have an increasing amount of pitches that they can throw as the rounds move forward. There are also some minimum amounts of rest that must occur if you go past a certain point of pitches. And that's where the bullpen usage really gets interesting. To me, Walter, this is a tournament where if you have got two pitchers who can both give you four innings and you go 4-4 and then have your closer pitch the ninth, that is awesome because you need to rest your relievers as much as possible. And I am someone that believes that when you bring someone into a game, it almost always needs to be with the idea that they're going to pitch until they hit their limit or they stop being effective, whichever one is first. And you're hoping to use as few pitchers as you possibly can, because every time that bullpen door opens, you're probably losing that pitcher for a game in the future because of the pitch limits and the minimum rest days limit. So there's a lot that goes into every decision. Every decision, Walter, in this tournament is magnified, because even if Team USA goes all the way to the gold medal game, which I think is going to be a real challenge for them, they would be playing seven games in a span of 11 days. That's it. The actual gameplay takes less than 2 weeks. And so it's really important that you place a great emphasis on every single pitch, because any one of them can change your entire tournament.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting because, I mean, we always talk about playoff baseball and every move being magnified. I mean, you're essentially putting that into a two-week span with the World Baseball Classic. Literally every decision is going to be magnified, and it's going to be really interesting to watch. We're talking with John Morosi of MLB Network. And so I just wanted to – you talked about Team USA. They are the reigning champions from 2017, and it's hard to believe. It's hard to imagine that it was that long ago the last time that we had a World Baseball Classic. So when we go into the group stages, because we're going to have four groups of five teams, how does this work exactly? Because I know in the past we've had round robin group play. Is that what we are to expect in the WBC in this this turn this year, or are they being changed?
Right. So it's a great question. So the format is a little bit different than it was last time around, where last year there was a round robin in both the first round and the second round. Now it is a round robin. There are four groups of five. So that means that there are four new teams. Last time around it was 16 teams. Now it's 20. And so because of the new format, it makes the most sense to play that round robin in round one. And then from those groups, you're going to have eight teams emerge. So four groups, two teams per group, for a total of eight. And at that point in time, Walter, it is single elimination, March Madness, you win or you're done. Wow. And so I think it's going to really emphasize and make, I think, the tournament more exciting and more stressful, to be honest with you, because you look at the pressure on each individual team. Team USA last time around, they lost their fifth game. They lost their fifth game to Puerto Rico. And if you lose your fifth game now, you're done. In this case, Team USA lost the fifth game, but they won the sixth, which was a winner-take-all game against the Dominican Republic. And then they won in the semis, they won in the finals. So you were able to lose a game after the first round and still win the tournament in 2017. In 2023, you do not have that luxury. You have to be on point from the very, very first game until the end, certainly. But you can afford to lose a game in group play. You cannot afford to lose a game after group play, and that is different from what it was 6 years ago.
Well, and that's definitely going to be a story to follow, especially with the usage of certain pitchers, as you were mentioning earlier. This definitely, in this new format, is going to be magnified. We're talking with John Morosi and new manager for Team USA, Mark DeRosa, your colleague at NFL or MLB Network. He's taking over a team that... Do you think that this team, this installment being led by Captain America, Mike Trout, and all these guys that they have on Team USA, do you think that this team is maybe a little bit better or worse than the championship team in 2017?
Great question. I think this is a more talented team among the position players. Mm-hmm. The pitching is probably similar, maybe a little better on this team than it was 6 years ago, but the journey is tougher. So I think that while I believe that there are more reasons or as many reasons to believe this team can do it and win the championship again and repeat as Japan did in 06 and 09, I think that they are up against teams that are also the best versions of their rival nations' national teams that we've ever seen. The Dominican Republic is a perfect example of that. This is the best. This may well be the best U.S. team ever, although the first team included three future Hall of Famers and Roger Clemens and Alex Rodriguez. So, like, there have been some pretty good rosters in the past. But this Dominican roster just has so much talent. It's incredible. And I think that's where it becomes a tricky tournament for the U.S. Yes, the best U.S. roster, I'll agree with that. But the problem is they're going up against the best Dominican roster, the best Venezuelan roster. I think Venezuela is back on the map after struggling the last two classics. I think Japan's got a really strong roster headlined by Shohei Ohtani. So Commissioner Manfred said this week he believes it's going to be the best ever addition to the World Baseball Classic, and I think he is absolutely right.
Yeah, you mentioned the Dominican Republic team. I mean, you look at the roster. It's you come into, especially with the position players, you're like, who is not going to, who's going to be riding the bench? Who's not playing in this tournament? And so it's going to be really interesting. I mean, you look at their infielders. I mean, you got Nelson Cruz there. You got Rafael Devers, Wander Franco, Vladimir Guerrero, Manny Machado. I mean, just the list goes on when you look at that. I didn't even talk about Juan Soto. Juan Soto's on that team too, John. So they look really stacked, and their starting pitching is not too bad either.
One of the very best teams that I've ever seen assembled anywhere, and that includes all-star games. That's how I feel about the Dominican team. So in the infield, one of the things I've been saying, Walter, is that there are people who believe that Jeremy Peña, who we last saw winning the World Series MVP, right, is going to bat seventh or eighth or ninth after winning the World Series MVP. That's how good they are.
Yeah,
you've got it. Yeah, just unreal, right? And then third base, you'll potentially have Manny Machado, we expect. And then first base, you've got Vlad Jr. And you've got Rafael Devers as well. You've got Willie Adames. You've got Wander Franco. It's extraordinary. So, and their pitching staff, as you point out, Sandy Alcantara, the reigning Cy Young Award winner in the National League, and how durable he is. It's just, there is not a weak spot on this team. Their bullpen should be really good. They've got Camilo Doval, who you know well from San Francisco. So it's going to be a lot of fun to watch this team play.
So we know a lot about and we're talking with John Morosi of MLB Network. We know a lot about the powerhouse teams for the WBC. Give me your dark horse entering the WBC, the World Baseball Classic, this spring.
Okay, I'll say this. I think Colombia is going to be a really dangerous team. They have emerged. They have gotten better, I think, from where they were even 6 years ago. And remember, they almost beat both the U.S., and the Dominicans in the tournament 6 years ago. And so when you take that and then you add a lot more major league experience and some new talent that's starting to arrive, a young shortstop by the name of Dayan Frias and Fabian Pertus, another shortstop that they've got, two really good young shortstops there in a country that's known for shortstops. Mm-hmm. Of course, Orlando Cabrera and Edgar Renteria were the opposing shortstops in the World Series 19 years ago. So there is such growth in Colombian baseball. There's I think, enough starting pitching. It's maybe not at the same level that it was 6 years ago when Jose Quintana was right in his prime. But this is a team and a staff that I believe on their best days, they can go toe-to-toe with anybody. The domestic league in Colombia has gotten better and better as time has gone on. So they're my sleeper pick to maybe pull off an upset. I really do. I like Mexico a lot in that same group going up against the U.S. I think Mexico's got a really good team, one of the best teams they've ever had. And, of course, you go back to the first classic, and both Canada and Mexico beat the U.S. So anything can happen in this tournament. We've seen it before. But my favorite longer shot is Colombia. And then my favorites of the sort of the intermediate teams that maybe we're not talking about as much to win at all, but I think have a legitimate chance, are Mexico and Venezuela.
And you mentioned a couple of players, you know, that maybe people that are watching the Classic don't know much about. They're young, they're up-and-comers, they're future stars. That's the great thing about the World Baseball Classic, is that you see a lot of potential from these other countries. And we have some, we have three top 10 prospects that are going to be in the Classic as well. What single player, you know, whether they're a future star, a current MLB player, you know, Shohei Ohtani, obviously anywhere he is, he takes over the show. But what single player would you keep an eye on and who you think can steal the show of the WBC?
It's a great question, because I think there's a lot of talent around the sport. You know, the team that I think is my pick to win it is Japan. Mm-hmm. And part of the reason is they're so good at playing in this tournament. They obviously won it back to back in 06 and 09. They made it to the Final Four in 13 and 17. They really know how to play tournament baseball. They won the Olympics. They won the Premier 12. The bigger the stage, the better they play. And they've got a couple players, Munetaka Murakami, who set the record in home runs in Japan last year for any Japanese-born player with 56, passing the great Sadaharu Oh. Murakami is someone that I think has a chance to be a global star. I also think of Roki Sasaki, who is one of the really interesting pitchers in the world, really. A young pitcher who pitched 17 straight perfect innings last year, which is just unbelievable in 2022. So he pitched that many perfect innings to begin the season. And so I think that having Sasaki have that as sort of his jumping off point after throwing all those perfect innings to begin the year last year, he's now in a great position to join the likes of Darvish and Ohtani. I just believe that Team Japan is going to find a way to win this thing, and it's going to be with the contributions from superstars that are about to become global superstars in Murakami and Roki Sasaki.
Japan, Dominican Republic, is that the final that we're looking at?
Could be. I think right now, if I had to predict right now, I'd probably say that's where I'm leaning.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you what, Venezuela is going to be a really good team.
Yeah.
I think Venezuela sort of fell off the map a little bit from the standpoint of international baseball after 09. They made it to the semifinals, and then in 2013, the only team they beat was Spain. And then in 2017, the only team they beat was Italy, and they beat them twice. So they have not defeated a Latin American or a North American team in this tournament since 2009. So they are long overdue to make a serious push. They seem to me to be really unified and united. And Jose Altuve is going to be one of the leaders, along with Luis Arraez and Andres Jimenez. And I think Sal Perez behind the plate. They've got some good pitching with like Ranger Suarez and others. So I think that the Final Four, do not be surprised at all if we end up seeing Venezuela and the Dominican in the Final Four, and if the U.S. potentially gets knocked out there in the quarterfinals.
Yeah, let's do it for Miggy. That's the rally call for
that's right.
For
his last year. So which I think is great. He'll be the first player to participate in this tournament every single year, which is pretty cool.
That's amazing. John, I think I speak for everyone, baseball fans everywhere, that I'm excited for baseball just to be back. We're talking baseball again. But WBC, I am all for that. Spring training, all for that. It's a great time, as you mentioned at the beginning of this conversation. It's a great time of year with all this going on, man. It is really exciting. And thank you so much for breaking it all down and talking ball with us. And hope to do it again soon.
Sounds great, Walter. I appreciate the invitation, and please do my best to everybody at the station. You guys have all been so kind to me over the years, and I really appreciate that. And hopefully I'll have a chance to catch up with all of you in the beautiful city of San Francisco here during the course of the season.
The great John Morosi of MLB Network, and wow, what a treat that was. You all listening to this podcast right now are spoiled to have listened to the great John Morosi. I'm just here for a good time. I was just talk as long as you want, John. That was great. And I don't know about you, but I am excited for the World Baseball Classic to get underway. Again, we didn't really mention any dates, but if you are looking for the World Baseball Classic, you can find that on MLB Network. It will be broadcasted. And the group stages, they start on March 7th, and the tournament carries all the way, what John said, 2 weeks, all the way to March 21st, so about a week before the start of the regular season. I'm excited for the WBC. I'm excited for spring training. I'm excited for the regular season just to get underway. Baseball season is back, and we are just off and rolling on the podcast on Passion for the Pastime. We go with Jorge Castillo, followed up with John Morosi. We got tons more coming at you next week as we speak with Anthony Castro-Vince of MLB.com. We're going to break down the offseason. We're going to find out where players are calling home now, where they're suiting up, because there was a ton of player movement, a ton of acquisitions, a ton of trade. Well, there wasn't a lot of trades, but there was just a lot that went down in the offseason where We got to bring you up to speed. We got to let you know what's going on, because when spring training opens up and when opening day comes around, you're not asking the question, oh, when did he get here? When did they come onto this team? Because I do it every single year, so it's going to be nice to break down the offseason to find out where players ended up and what team is the team to beat. And I think we're all going to focus on the Big Apple. So we'll dissect that next episode when we talk to Anthony Castro-Vince of MLB.com. But before I go, just want to thank again for the final time, John Morosi, for coming on to the podcast. That was a really fun conversation. I had a blast having that conversation with John talking WBC. And I hope you enjoyed listening to that conversation, because it was a lot of fun. So you guys have a good one. Be safe. Next episode, we will be talking off-season moves with Anthony Castro-Vince. And again, thank you for listening to Passion for the Pastime podcast. You guys have a good one. Be safe. Enjoy your weekend. Talk to you next time.